The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show first broadcast by Fresh FM with assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Mata Maria, Planet People, Kev Energy on your Heaps More Energy show that brings into fine focus the issues that are facing our environment. And just when I thought it was easy to move away from plastic pollution, an important worldwide event is occurring, and following last week's wonderful Waste to Wonder show by Anna Van Reel, this is the other side of the equation in a sense. So nations are gathering in Geneva again to confront the spiralling plastic pollution problem. Nations kicked off a meeting this week to try to complete a landmark treaty aimed at ending the plastic pollution crisis that affects every ecosystem and person on the planet. It's time we took this on board, every person. That's not just the rich, it's everyone. It is in fact the sixth time negotiators are meeting, and they hope the last to boot. A key split is whether the treaty should require cutting plastic production, and of course with powerful oil producing nations opposed to that, as most plastic is made from fossil fuels. So it's a thousand cuts. They say that the redesign, recycling and reuse can solve the problem. We need to arrest the problem. We can't anywhere near solve it right now. So it's a question of trying to take the bull by the horns inch by inch. And while other countries and some major companies say that's not enough, the Chairperson Negotiating Committee, Mr. Luis Vallas, aims to develop a legally binding instrument on plastic pollution. He said, "We're pretty sure that nobody wants plastic pollution. Of course, however, we still have not been able to find a systematic and effective way to stop it. So if the producers aren't wanting to stop it, we as the people at the bottom of the heap are trying to recycle, stop using plastics, stop buying milk bottles, stop using plastic in as form as you can, take it down to your local recycling area, which is the warehouse, and or New World, and or Woolworths. There are ways to do it. We're just not doing it enough. I see so many bottles of milk being bought that I'd just close up, if anything. It's an opportunity, he said, to end plastic pollution. Vallas believes the 10-day gathering in Geneva can be groundbreaking, so there is hope on the horizon. For the first time in history, the world is within our reach of a legally binding international agreement to end plastic pollution, he says. He's also Ecuador's ambassador to Britain. So we've got some high flyers here. He said, we are facing a global plastic crisis. The pollution is damaging ecosystems, polluting our oceans and rivers, threatening biodiversity, harming human health, and unfairly impacting the most vulnerable. The urgency is real. How many more flags can we have before the bottom of the cliff is coming up? He feels that only a treaty could mobilize the necessary global action. And this is underscored by Angelique Papahuniu, lead ocean negotiator for the 39 small and low-lying coastal developing states. So I left Africa in 1976, and one of my first stops was at the Seychelles. And it was a beautiful place to be. But let's see what it says about the Seychelles now. At home in the Seychelles currently, Mrs. Papahuniu says plastic contaminates the fish they eat, piles up on beaches, and chokes the ocean to undermine tourism and their way of life. So the very reason that tourism works is because the Seychelles, when I visited, it was an absolute paradise. I can remember being behind a balloon from the beach, and that was taken up on a parachute as well, and just seeing the beauty around there. But now it's plastic pollution all over the place. So we're not going anywhere fast other than to the bottom of the cliff. So how do we stop it all? She says it's the world's final opportunity to get this done and get it done right. It would be a tragedy if we don't live up to our mandate. So United Nations Environmental Programme Executive Director Inga Anderson also underscored that the issues were so complex, but the crisis was really, really spiraling, and that was a narrow pathway to a treaty being a way to do it. She said, whilst many countries agreed on redesigning plastic products to be recycled and improving waste management, for example, there's still 19 million to 23 million tonnes of plastic waste leak into aquatic systems annually, which could jump by 50% by 2040. That's not far away, 2040. 25 from 40 is 15 years. Do the math. So if you're 15 years old now, what are you going to be inheriting? There's sharp disagreement on whether to limit plastic production. The figures are startling. In 2022, 175 nations agreed to make the first legally binding treaty on plastic pollution by the end of 2024. Last year, talks in South Korea were supposed to be the final round, but they were adjourned in December by way of an impasse over cutting production. For instance, every year, the world makes more than 400 million tonnes of new plastic, and that would grow by about 70% by 2040, that's in 15 years. I mean, it's just a hockey curve out of control. The trouble is, how do we stop it? We want to do it at the bottom end of the cliff, but they need to just start doing it at the top end of the cliff. So we're going to get back to consumer pressure. If we stop buying the stuff, the word will get out there, but it needs a groundswell. I don't buy plastic milk bottles. I haven't done it for 8 years, but I'm only one. We need a lot more than one. About 100 countries want to limit production as it happens, as well as tackle the cleanup and recycling. Many have said it's essential to address toxic chemicals. Panama, at the South Korean address, tried to limit production and then treating. The negotiator, Deborah, said they would do so again in Geneva because they strongly believed in addressing the pollution at the source, not just through downstream measures like waste management. So if we shy away from that ambition now, we risk abducting an agreement that is politically convenient but environmentally absolutely catastrophic. So we need to keep this in mind, that it's going to be where this coalition is going to lead to. We'll keep looking at the news feeds. The coalition includes major food and beverage companies and retailers who want an effective binding treaty with global rules to spare them the headaches of different approaches in different countries. So there's a sword of a thousand cuts as well. Different people from different directions. How do we get it into one area? Some plastic producing and oil gas countries firmly oppose production limits. Saudi Arabia, the world's largest exporter of one common type of plastic, has led that group in asserting there should be no problem producing plastic if the world addressed plastic pollution. And there's a fair point there. So the question is, whilst that's a what-if, how can we make a what-if into a permanent? United States position on the treaty. The US doesn't support global production caps or bans on certain plastic products or chemical additives to them. Draw, baby, draw. You know who said that. The State Department says it supports provisions to improve waste collection and management, improve production, product design, and drive recycling, reuse, and other efforts to cut the plastic dumped into the environment. In fact, this week, the US proposed striking language in the objective of the agreement about addressing the full life cycle of plastics. The mandate from this resolution for creating a treaty. So such a change could stop the inclusion of anything related to the supply of plastics or plastic production. So that's like having no brakes on the car or having the policeman police his own activities. Nothing's changing. Why can't we learn from history? They said if the negotiations are to succeed, the agreement must be aimed at protecting the environment from plastic pollution. An agreement should recognise the importance of plastics play in our economies, said the State Department in the Associated Press. That's similar to the views of the plastics industry, of course, which they go hand in hand, unfortunately. And the unintended consequences, such as the rising cost of plastics and the chemicals, are best regulated elsewhere. China, the United States and Germany lead the global plastics trade by exports and imports, according to the Plastics Industry Association. But the question is, how high will negotiators aim? For any proposal to make it into the treaty, every nation must agree. So it's one doesn't agree, it all falls apart. So some countries want to change the process so decisions may be made by a vote if necessary. India, Saudi Arabia, Iran, Kuwait and others have opposed that. arguing that consensus is vital to effective strategy. In other words, based on that, how can it ever get to any end result? Tracy Campbell, an executive vice president of the plastics and chemicals company Lonel Bassell and vice chairperson of the executive committee of the World Plastics Council, said she would ask the negotiators to find a way to agree on a few things and get started. This is the point, it doesn't sound like it's even started. She suggested tackling things like product redesign, recycled content mandates, and financing waste collection, waste sorting and recycling technologies. So why isn't there, like glass bottles, have an amount on each tonne of plastic produced so that it goes into this recycling group and that it can actually be funded? Another thing she was talking about here is that, in contrast, Greenpeace will be calling for at least a 75% reduction in plastic production by 2040. So it's going to go up by 70%, but they want it down by 70%, 75%. We will never recycle our way out of this problem. It's too big, said Graham Forbes, who leads a Greenpeace delegation. So thousands of people are participating. Delegates from most countries, the plastics industry and businesses that use plastics, environmentalists, scientists, indigenous leaders and communities affected by plastic pollution are in Geneva. It is big. About 80 government ministers were attending the talks in the last 10 days that it will last, the longest session yet, the adjournment scheduled for August 14th. Frankie Orana, executive director of the Texas-based Society of Native Nations, has been to every negotiating session. Indigenous land, water and air were being contaminated as fossil fuels were extracted and plastic was manufactured using hazardous chemicals. We feel absolutely have to be present to let them know and see who are the people that are really being impacted by the plastic crisis. So plastic people, it's all about SUP. Stop using plastics. Stop using single plastic particularly, and manage your plastic waste so that we can give a world back to our kids that are coming up and follow in the wonderful footsteps and the music that you'll hear from Anna Van Riel, who's a wonderful educator. So enjoy the outcome, enjoy the ride, and stop using plastics. Have a great day. Bye.
What's your game? Being waste-free is the aim. Let's make our goals all the same. I'm working on a waste-free world. You'll be slick and I'll be smart. Let's go right back to the start. Waste reduction has my heart. I'm working on a waste-free world. Waste-free wonder. Working
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast on Fresh FM, with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community access media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.net, for our contact details.